This is the Ask Falaschini podcast, where the modern economy is discussed from a skeptic's perspective. Mr. Falaschini helps you distinguish what is sustainable in our economy and what isn't. Not everything that glitters is gold, and not all mud is dirty. The podcaster Mr. Falaschini provides no-nonsense advice. He had it all, lost it all, went bankrupt multiple times, and is now attempting to come back from zero with sustainable growth. There are numerous coaches and preachers on the internet that preach about positive thinking and how life is all roses if you just care to see it that way. Well, Mr. Falaschini is definitely not one of them. We recommend you ask Falaschini to keep it real. He discusses the darker side of the current economic reality, the side that's more important for your personal and business finance. His first intention is to help you keep what you already have. Not to be a complete party pooper, Mr. Falaschini will also hint at the earning opportunities in the economy today. In order to please the almighty algorithm, please like, share, and subscribe. And now it's time to start taking notes. The mic goes to the podcaster, the one and only Mr. Falaschini.
Welcome to the Ask Falaschini podcast with a guest. I'm proud to present Jamshed Durrani from England. Jamshed is certified life coach, transformation coach, peak performance coach, NLP practitioner, author, and also hypnotherapist. Jamshed, please tell us more about yourself. What is your story?
Well, thank you for having me on your show today, Peter. Well, you've pretty much already summed up everything that I do. All I can add is I actually got into the coaching line as a corporate trainer, because training is something I would always enjoy. Mm-hmm. And I used to do training because I'm a people's person. I enjoy that interaction with people. So as a trainer, I was actually one day surfing the internet and I came across Tony Robbins. Mm-hmm. And that is what opened my eyes to this whole new field of life coaching, and it really triggered my interest, which is what got me into this. And I've been doing this for a few years now. I've been working with clients globally. However, I am based myself in Edinburgh in Scotland, which is, of course, in the United Kingdom.
Okay, let me ask you. So how much does the training that you did on your corporate job differs from the coaching that you're doing today? What is the main difference?
Oh, it's absolutely different. Absolutely different. Corporate training is... See, it depends. Now, I used to do corporate training for various subjects. If I talk about corporate training that I used to do for management and leadership, yes, that and something that's got to do with peak performance coaching is not too different. It's quite similar. I won't say it's 100% the same thing, but it is quite similar.
Okay.
But if you talk about training for security or training for conflict management or training for first aid, that's completely different from life coaching.
Okay. What do you enjoy more? Because you have so many different coaching that you do, for example, life coaching, transformational coaching, peak performance. Are all these just methods to help people be more successful, or do you differentiate the course or the which method you use on different clients, or how do you go about it?
So my main niche is actually peak performance. Mm-hmm. I did most of the coaching training. I'm also a law of attraction coach. But again, I do this because I quite enjoy the learning process. Because I feel when I am doing a peak performance coaching with somebody, I can use valuable points from these other methods that I can integrate into my peak performance coaching.
Okay. Who's your ideal client for the peak performance coaching?
CEOs, managers, entrepreneurs, business owners, these are my main clients.
Okay. Where do you think you could be most successful? Where do you add the most value? What kind of person comes and you said, okay, you're something that I can really work on? And what would be the client that would be like that you wish for and that you can really show the results, let's say, in a year or really fast?
See, normally my courses are between 10 to 12 weeks. And that said, I do just one class a week, which is usually for about an hour, maximum an hour and a half, depending on the client need. Sometimes, of course, if it's a corporate package, a lot of people say, no, I'm not going to wait 10 weeks. I want the course done within 5 days or within 10 days or within 2 weeks. So then accordingly, I cater to them. What kind of people do I enjoy working with? To be honest, personal preference, I like working with people who lack confidence.
Okay. And you help them achieve this confidence state.
Absolutely.
Although I
enjoy working with all kinds of people, but a personal preference that I really enjoy is people who lack confidence.
Are you also accountability partner or are you just a coach?
No, with my clients, I am an accountability partner, absolutely.
Okay, how important is to reach this accountability with your clients in order for them to make a progress?
See, to be honest, I feel it doesn't necessarily have to be me as the accountability partner for my client. It could be anybody. It could be their spouse, it could be their best friend, it could be their girlfriends, their partners, anybody. If somebody wants me to be their accountability partner, yes, then I become their accountability partner. However, having an accountability partner is extremely important, because a lot of times when you don't have an accountability partner, you tend to, you know, slack off and derail again from the path that you're on. But if you know that end of the day you have somebody to answer to, you tend to be more focused and more on track.
Okay. You're also a hypnotherapist. And I would like to know, how do you apply these methods, and how do you see hypnotherapy in correlation with neuro-linguistic programming that you also practice?
Well, to be honest, they're quite integrated. And if you are an NLP practitioner, hypnotherapy actually becomes a lot more easier to understand.
Okay.
Of course, I only use hypnotherapy for breaking habits that people find hard to let go of. But it's something honestly, it is something that I've recently started. I haven't been doing that for too long.
Okay. Would you say that neuro-linguistic programming is more structured and it's more a science, and hypnotherapy is more, let's say, a lot of intuition involved, a lot of trigger searching and similar?
To some extent, yes. But again, it's person specific. Mm-hmm. It's really depending on what the client is looking for. Because sometimes I might be treating a client and I might feel like approaching through an NLP point of view is easier and quicker for me. Sometimes, like you said, sometimes I might be looking for that trigger point for that person.
Okay. Would you agree that for practicing NLP, you don't need the consent of a client, but for practicing hypnotherapy, you need a consent?
Well, I have a tendency of taking consent either way.
Okay.
So whether it's NLP or whether it's hypnotherapy, we always take consent before we start anything.
Okay, so that is important for you because NLP is often used also to analyze clients, and there's often no need for consent because you just need it as a method of analytics or part of the analytics or how you gather data. That is why I imply that you don't need consent. But with hypnotherapy, you need the client to be involved. That is
absolutely. But then, like I said, whether it's NLP, whether it's hypnotherapy, or whether it's just peak performance coaching, anything that we do with the client before we begin, we always take their consent for everything.
So you explain that the whole methodology that you will use, all the approaches and everything, and then you start.
Absolutely.
Okay. And how hard is to have a group sessions for NLP and hypnotherapy?
Again, this is person specific. If I feel like, okay, I need more time to invest in a particular person, then of course I always give them an extra time out of the group.
Mm-hmm.
But again, so far I've never come across such a situation where I had to do that. But of course, if I need to, I will always give them that extra time.
Okay. Let's get back to life coaching and peak performance coaching.
Sure. And
most of my listeners are interested in what can they expect from a life coach? How will their life be different? What will they have to do in order to improve?
So if I put it in simple terms, a life coach helps you take your life from where it is at the moment to where it is that you want to be.
Okay.
So whatever your goals are, provided they are achievable, measurable, and realistic.
Okay.
A life coach will help you reach those goals within a specified time frame.
But what do the clients need to give up in order to reach these goals? What is the most common thing that they will have to give up in order to reach their life goals?
See, a lot of people, to be honest, when they start, like, for example, you ask them, oh, what is your goal in life? To make money. That's the most common answer you will get. Make money. Okay. How do you plan to make that money? Don't know. But just because you're saying that your goal is to make money, that's not really your goal because it's not measurable. It is not in a time frame. Okay, it may be realistic, but then again, it's vague. It's not complete.
So it's idea. It's not a goal yet.
Exactly.
Or even a wish, not even an idea.
Absolutely. It's more like a wish. Again, the most common thing I'll get is having the knowledge of what a goal is. Apart from this, I won't say there's anything too common because, again, every individual is different.
Mm-hmm.
And every individual might have certain aspects in their life which is personal to them that may be needing. But, yeah, the most common thing I would say is the goal setting.
Okay. When would you recommend your client to go and attend a therapy instead of a coaching session? What would be the trigger for you to do that?
That would depend. See, before we actually start a session with a client, we actually do a discovery, a complimentary discovery call where we see if we are fit to work with this individual or not. Mm-hmm. So an individual who's going through a lot of trauma or depression, based on like how deep that trauma or that depression or that any psychological impact that person might be going through is, we would suggest they go to some therapists before they come to a life coach.
Okay. How would you go about the peak performance? What do you think that how if we go into measurable goals, and let's say that the a lot of people would like to achieve money, how much more money they can make after a session with you?
Well, that depends on what their goal is. Like I said, as life coach, I can help them achieve their goals. Now, whatever their goal is, I cannot put a specific amount and say that, oh, they can get $1 billion. No, they might even be able to get $1 trillion, depending on what their goal is.
Okay, but let's say that an average person that is now making 100K, how much more can the average person make if it decides for a course with you? Will that be a 200K, 300K? What would be realistic to expect?
It could be anything. Again, I do not work on making you rich, right? I don't help you make money. You help yourself make money.
Okay.
So if you're a peak performer and you've achieved peak performance after my course, if you were making 100K, chances are you can probably make that twice the amount, maybe make 300K because you have got more time now.
Yeah, I'm just trying to make it more tangible for our listeners, because the listeners, the peak performance is some kind of abstract term for most of our listeners. And how can we make it more tangible for them? So let's see, if someone goes and will enroll in one of your courses, what can they expect of it? What tangible is there? What will change for them?
Okay. First of all, let's start with what exactly is peak performance?
Okay.
So peak performance is where an organization or an individual is working, their output is at their peak.
Okay.
They cannot work much quicker, better, faster than that peak. That peak is the limit.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Now, a lot of people get confused with peak performance and high performance as well. But there's a difference. High performance is where your output, your performance is high, but it's still not the peak.
Okay.
It's just below the peak. The difference between high performance and peak performance, you can say, is peak performance is not long-lasting. It does stop.
Okay.
Whereas high performance, you can always be performing high.
Okay, but how can we make it tangible? How can person or company calculate this peak performance? Is there any mathematical formula? How do you estimate that? Where are the bottlenecks? What are the problems on the way to achieving a peak performance?
There is actually a formula, but however, I don't recall it right now, but it is a long formula where you can assess your peak performance. Anyway, coming back to a more simplistic term, wait, peak performance. So let me just think about what is the most simplest way I could explain this in. So when you are a peak performer, say, for example, if you are doing an 8-hour day shift, as a peak performer, what you're completing in that 8 hours, you're probably finishing that in 4 hours, if not less.
Okay.
So your 8-hour day comes down to 4 hours, plus your work, the job that you're doing, is also of higher quality, because you're more focused.
Okay.
So when your output becomes half of what it used to be, and you're finishing your day in less time and achieving more, your production or your revenue will increase, because what you were doing in one day or in 2 days, you can now complete in maybe 1 day.
Okay.
So that increases your revenue.
But is that applicable only to entrepreneurs that are their own boss? or is that applicable also to companies? Because in companies, they have a rigid structure, and these 8 hours a day is really rigid. They don't want you to work half time. They don't want you to work just finish on a project. They will give you new project to amass for the same amount of payment. How do you go about peak performance in a company if you are an employee and not an entrepreneur or owner of the business?
Okay, again, it's quite simple. What you were doing in taking you 8 hours to complete, you're now completing in 4 hours, which means what you were completing in 2 days, you're now completing in 1 day.
Okay.
So even as an organization, your productivity has increased by double. Although I say after my course, your productivity should go up at least 5 times.
Okay.
So if for the sake of argument, we say it's doubled up. So even as an organization, your productivity, your output has doubled up. So when everything has doubled up, what does that imply? That your revenue should double up as well.
Okay. But that is for entrepreneurs, because
it's also for organizations.
Okay.
So let's say you have a team that's manufacturing or producing something.
Yes.
Yeah. They went through the peak performance training. Their productivity has increased. So the time that they were taking, say, to complete one task was, say, for the sake of argument, let's say they were taking 4 hours to complete one task. After the training, they're probably taking 1 hour or maybe 2 hours to complete the same task.
Okay. Are you talking about the soft skills, or are you also helping them organize themselves?
Both.
So it's a mix.
It's a mix.
Motivation plus organization.
Absolutely. Because see, the way I train, I start my course, I've actually divided it into 9 parts. The first part is, of course, just an explanation of what exactly the peak performance system is.
Mm-hmm.
The second part, or what I usually start from, is to create a personal compass for the individual or the organization. I refer to this compass as the North Star, because that is your guidance. That is your guiding light. Once we get the sense of direction ready, then we work with the mindset management. And that is one of the most crucial parts, because your mindset is the most important thing.
Okay.
So once your mindset is where we want it to be, then we go to the mental toughness management to make you tough. We want you to be tough. We want you to be confident.
Mm-hmm.
Then we make a simple goal setting system, where we actually tell you that what exactly is a goal and how do you achieve that goal. We plan through that. Then we come to a proper, unshakable confidence building measures, where we really build your confidence to that nothing is impossible for you. And then we come to your laser-like focus, where we deal with your focus. So if you're doing something but you're not focused, do you think you'll be doing a quality job? Absolutely not. So once you're focused in what you're doing, you won't even realize you've started. You won't even realize what time it is and whether if you're hungry or not, because you're so engrossed in what you're doing. And lastly, we're going to do is a visualization. So after we have done all the steps and we bring you to the last step, which is visualization, this is where we tell you now, imagine yourself after you've done all these steps, where do you see yourself now? And that's the end of my course. Of course, a lot of time people can finish this whole thing within 8 weeks. I usually give a time frame of 10 to 12 weeks. 10 is usually my average. Sometimes if somebody needs more, we go to the 11th or the 12th week.
Okay, very, very nice. Thank you for all these insights. Are there any more industry insights or tricks of the trade that you can share with our listeners?
Tricks of the trades. Well, everyone works differently. A lot of people who are actually peak performance coaches, they'll tell you, oh, forget 9 steps. I'll make you a peak performance in 6 steps. Yes, absolutely. They're right. You can become peak performer in even 5 steps. I like to keep it 9 because I like to break it down so a person understands and really knows what exactly it is they're doing. Because like I said, you might reach a point where you might derail from the track. So it'll be easier for you to come back on track because you'll remember, I've made it so simple that you'll remember exactly what to do.
Thank you. Where is the best place that people can reach you?
They can reach me on Facebook, Instagram, my website.
Okay, I'll include all the links in the description below. Sure. Thank you, Damshit, for this wonderful interview and for being my guest.
Thank you so much, Peter, for having me on today. It was an absolute pleasure.
Thank you, Mr. Falaschini, for this outstanding podcast. And thank you for listening to the Ask Falaschini podcast until the end. Mr. Falaschini would love to hear your feedback in the comments. And don't forget, if you want to know, ask Falaschini or listen to the Ask Falaschini podcast. In order to please the almighty algorithm, please don't forget to like, share, and subscribe.